Oh my God! It's the non-cursy one. This is the Asian cult cinema here on Radio St. Pete.
Son of a
shoot! Gosh, golly jeepers! Yeah. My name is Mal. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius
from Parts Unknown, and this is Asian cult cinema.
This is that.
Nope, Asian cult cinema.
Yeah, oh,
you know what was,
this isn't. Oh, okay. I'm confused.
Oh my God! Don't be confused. This is Asian cult cinema. Okay. This isn't the one that we curse on. That's Slow Robot a Go Go.
I place a curse upon you.
Yeah. a vex upon your fam or upon your house or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So the we do another show called Slow Robot a Go Go. That's we do B movie reviews and that's pretty funny. Go to slowrobotagogo.wordpress.com or go to bunchofdorks.com. For those.
Yes.
Getting the commercial out of the way early. That's the way we do it here.
I go to Two Dimension Comic Book Podcast.
Sure, and, why not?
Read about comic books. Sometimes Japanese, mostly American.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes European.
Why not?
Hell no.
Whatever.
We won't go.
Yeah, okay, good.
Anyway.
Yes. You watch anything this week?
The NFL draft. I mentioned the NFL draft on the other show, which is like 2 months in advance. Boy, that's like a waste. Now this one's the one to talk about really what you watched or current events, because the other one's like so far ahead in the future. We're already in the middle of the football season. Where you'll spend the rest of your life. The other one's already like at football season.
It'll be the Super Bowl. I'll look like an idiot because I'll be like, the Bears are such idiots and they'll go to the Super Bowl this year.
Right. You know? Yeah, they'll do the shuffle again. Yeah.
I have a sealed copy of this shuffle. I'm just waiting for it to revisit it, and I'm going to strike with my money-making scheme.
Oh, God. Check this out. Here's one. I forgot to mention. I should have mentioned this on the other show. My buddy in Pennsylvania goes to the library all the time, and every year...
Goes to the what?
Library.
Okay.
Remember what the library was where you borrow books?
I heard something way different. Go ahead.
Oh, you thought I heard something dirty?
Yeah, I did. And that's okay.
No, library.
Good.
Now I'm trying to figure out what.
Like your buddy's a real freak, huh? It's weird, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, anyway. Well, yeah, if you go to the library every day to use the internet, that's kind of a little weird. But for some reason, he doesn't want to get it at his house. Don't ask.
Does he listen to this show?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then I'm not going to say anything.
Anyway, so he goes there. And gets on the computer, downloads stuff, you know, whatever. So once a year they have like a sale. On Friday it was like
you mean like books?
Five books or $5.
Oh yeah. They do them around here too. Like the library always does that, where they have like a fill up a bag for $2.
Well, that's what happened later on. Yeah. But for $5 day, he found a science fiction novel from the 1930s.
Oh nice!
For $5, it gets better.
But wait, more.
There's more.
It's signed by Ray Bradbury and William Shatner. No.
So he goes back on Monday, because Monday's fill a bag for $5. Yeah. So he goes on Monday.
Did he just take the internet and the computer and put it in his bag for $5? That would have been
better.
Money.
Okay. Better.
A bar of gold? Kind of, huh? Okay, go ahead.
Depends on what you're...
I should probably stop cutting you off. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, so he goes there and he fills up two bags. So he goes... He writes to me, he goes, "You're not going to believe what I found at the library." I go, "What?" I found a 1925 movie book of the movie London After Midnight with Lon Chaney. I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, it was just sitting there, and it was $5 fill a bag day." So he got it for that and 30 mangas for $5 or something. So I'm like, okay. I go, "Well, what?" I go, "This must be something." I go, "Is it from the 20s? And he goes, "Yeah." I go, huh, okay. So I go, well, send me a picture of it, because I'm thinking there was another book maybe that was... No, it's he got a book from 1925, which is a film book of a lost movie, which was like the adaptation of it, and it says London After Midnight on the front, the name of the writer of the story, and it's got 44 images from the movie. I didn't know they made movie books back then, but this is from a lost movie. So he said he looked it up on eBay, and it's worth hundreds of dollars, so, you know, I guess I guess it's worthwhile to go to the library and hit the $5 day. And I'm going like, and I don't know how this stuff works, but I said, so has this book been there since 1925? Checked it out? That was somebody donated.
No, that's what it is, because a lot of times, this is a weird thing. The local library in this area, I used to go there and troll the records, because they used to have a lot of records. And I used to ask the lady to go back and see this stuff that wasn't out yet. And she said yes, because it was all a quarter, so who cares?
Yeah.
And I used to go back and dig through the records before they were ever even out. That's how I got a lot of AC/DC, a lot of stuff. Like, I found treasure troves because I asked.
So they had they donations said, I don't in the back?
Care. Yeah, there are tons of them. I did that. I did that twice at a Goodwill, too, where I said, hey, do you care if I just go back and look? Or a church one, not a Goodwill, a church one. I said, you know, there's tons of them back there, and I'll just go through them. I'll even sort them out for you and stuff. And they're like, yeah, I don't care. Hmm. And I scored so many of those, like, metal and punk and stuff that just don't make it out.
Yeah.
Somebody that filters them goes, oh, and they know it's worth $100. So is your friend going to sell them? Is he going to sell
them? I don't know what he's going to do with
it. Oh, my God, I'd sell it.
He likes the movie. I mean, maybe one day he'll sell it. I don't know.
That's like hitting a lottery. It
would be better if it had a dust jacket. It doesn't have a dust jacket, but hey, how many of those are there?
Yeah, 8. And he has one of them.
And it's a lost movie. Yeah. No, there's probably more than 8, but it's a lost movie. He could probably make a few $100 off.
That's it. I mean, I would turn it over, but that stuff, sometimes you see that stuff and you're this is kind
of
cool.
He's more of a collector guy. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though. He has. This is the guy, I should take that back, because this was the guy when he was a kid boy. I never tell you the story of this, the worst movie ever made in his life, at least comic book-wise.
Huh.
Okay, this is the guy. He said it on Two Dimension one time. I told the story in person. This is the guy who, when he was a
Did
kid...
Did I meet Pat?
No.
Okay.
He was here, but I don't think I brought him over here. Because I think he came on a Monday and he left on a Wednesday. Yeah, so he wouldn't have come in here. When he was a kid, he traded some kids some Vampirellas. And this kid had the first appearance of Spider-Man.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, he got it for like 10 issues of Vampirella. So, like, a few years later, he was hard up for money because he wanted to buy some Jeff Beck albums. So he sold it for $20.
Oh, my God.
$20!
This story keeps getting worse.
It's just like, oh, so yeah, he might turn around and sell it. No, you're right.
I still gotta make back my Spider-Man 1 money. That's what he's gonna say. I would. Wow.
So anyway.
Great. So there's your story. This is Asian Cult Cinema.
We said that, didn't we?
And yeah, the reason I'm reminding everyone is because we're gonna go to a trailer break, and then when we come back.
Already?
Yes. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the actual movie.
Oh, what a mess!
And part of the reason we filled up the first segment without that movie was because we don't need to... this is like a segment and a half, basically, of this movie. Where you can't go into detail because it's just a garbage heap on fire. Yeah. And you're like, what are we doing here? So we kind of just did some filler stuff. Now when we come back after break, we're going to talk about Karate Inferno. It's not Disco Inferno. And it's not Karate Kid, it's Karate Inferno, starring Sonny Chiba.
I think we should call this show like anything called cinema. That way, we can get past Asian and do anything called cinema.
No way.
And it will still be ACC.
I think anything. Yeah, I think what would happen, though, is Radio St. Pete corporate headquarters would give us a cease and desist and be like, stop rebranding your show. Pick a theme and go with it, you hoofties. And we'd be like, oh, okay. So, yes, here's the trailer break. We'll come back. It's time to get to Sonny Chiba is some guy in Three Stooges Remake. He's the executioner in
Part 2.
Yeah, Part 2. Karate Inferno. We'll be right back.
How about Disco Inferno?
I'd watch Disco Inferno I'd watch this again. Oof.
Would you sign your own death certificate? You must before you witness the electrifying Night of the Living Dead and Blood and Black Lace. You must free the theater from responsibility should your heart stop. Paralyzed in fright from the 12 deadly hours of the Night of the Living Dead, where strange, incredulous molecular mutation incites cadavers to arise live from their coffins to devour all human flesh. And the House of Horror, the House of Blood and Black Lace, a chic French fashion salon where 7 breathtaking models will find their hideous, diabolical end. Night of the Living Dead, together with Blood and Black Lace. A terrifying evening with the undead.
You gotta give me a ride.
I'm way too big to drive to the Devil's House.
All right, we are back.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So now, on to the Asian cult cinema featured movie, which was Karate Inferno, starring Sonny Chiba and other people.
Not to be confused with Karate Warriors, which was a better movie.
Or Akai Warriors, which is a good video game.
Atari Warriors?
Akai Warriors.
Akai Warriors.
Yeah, it was one of those running guns, kind of like Commando.
Or what about, hey, Warriors, come out to play.
Come out to play, yay.
Did we ever do that movie for Slow Robot, The Warriors?
I think we did.
We did,
okay. Yeah,
because
that's a kind of a classic.
Okay.
All right, so yes. Now, this movie is...
A sequel.
It's a sequel to The Executioner, which was a straight-up Shiba-san, you know...
Action.
Action movie.
Where he plays a ninja.
Yeah, of course, you know... This one is really weird.
And in this one, he used to be the executioner. Then he joined the army or something.
Yeah, he quit his bad ways and he became a paratrooper. But then he's sitting there in his commander's office, and a girl comes in with a sack of money. And he goes, "Oh, I quit," and leaves. And you're like, "What? I don't think that's how the army works." But whatever. And
hey, what's a Japanese army?
Yeah, well, whatever, I guess. And, you know, so then he's.
And the money she's going to give him is cut in half.
Yeah, that gag doesn't
get
old.
That gag was all over the place. He goes, "Oh, when you finish the deal, you get the other half."
Yeah,
or something.
Like,
I don't know.
There's sacks of money, and it's all cut directly in half, these wads of money. Throughout this movie, everyone gets paid in half money. And then, if this works, you get the other half. And I was like, what are you going to do, sit there and tape the money back
together? Yeah, exactly.
Except that doesn't work. They don't take taped back together money. The bank would be like, nope.
I've gotten a few bills that had tape in the middle.
Some, but not a full-on...
Not that much. Not $1 billion or whatever the hell it was.
It's just, I'm having even trouble, like... I just watched this movie, and I'm having trouble, like, sifting through
to
talk about it, you know?
I watched it today, and I'm like, well, I hope you remember...
The other thing was, this one was a copy that had, like, it wasn't dubbed, so you're reading it. And this one, the subtitles, for the first time ever, this is the first movie I've ever had where subtitles were, like, bad. And I don't mean bad like their translation was bad. They were, like, light blue with a white outline, and
they were
tiny.
Not on my computer.
Yeah, not on your computer. And, like, it was hard to read it, so you couldn't watch anything. All I did was read the whole time, because this was also very talky.
You're right. No, you're right about
that. And I'm reading and reading and reading, and I'm missing, like, stuff. Now, some movies are fine with subtitles, you know, because there's light talking, and the subtitles are big, and they're nice block font, so you can read it. This one was a struggle, and that put me in a bad mood, which automatically puts you in a bad mood, you know.
Which means that you got angry and you punched the TV.
No,
wouldn't it be great if you had the worst subtitles are the Greek ones or the Dutch ones? These huge nasty like images on there. Wouldn't it be great if somebody, some wise guy, I was almost said the word there, you're gonna have to bleep, some wise guy. Did a subtitle of the movie, and they did it in like that gothic font, like, you know,
That
German font that's unreadable. Yeah, you're like, you son of
all uppercase.
Yeah.
I think we should try and like, we should actually do it for real. We should try to do it all in Egyptian hieroglyphs and then just like have all hieroglyphs as subtitles. So anyway, now the mob has him in place, and he goes to see the boss, and the boss is like, okay, well, you're going to work with these two guys because they just got out and they're the best, and this guy is this, and this guy is the safe guy. And you go, wait a minute, what is this now? And they're like, this is literally, it's a heist movie.
It's a caper.
It's a caper. And you're like, oh. So then they meet each other, and they're being gross. Like,
and doesn't Chiba have to, like, doesn't Chiba have to get one of them back from, like, because one of them went to jail and he got out, and he doesn't want to go back into... You know, breaking the law, but he has to go to his house and
he goes
his
to his
ugly
house.
Wife with a mole and gold teeth. All this weird, all this bad
this,
comedy.
This movie
and
was
Chiba's
strange.
Trying, man. He's trying.
Chiba always shows up.
He's always
like that. He's a revered actor. He's a really good actor, and he shows up to these things, and you're like, ugh.
And these trees might be funny. He's making faces. He's humorous. You know, he can do it. He can pull it off. But the movie can't pull it off.
The movie's not there to support him, man.
Again, though, in Japan, people might have been rolling in the aisles.
Or, and also maybe during the time. Now, we are... 70s. I was going to say, this is 70s. Maybe I'm not going to say we're more sophisticated now, but maybe we've just moved on from that time, and looking at it now, it doesn't hold up. That could be too, because I'm sure people were laughing. So he shows up, and this lady is gross, and he's like, "Oh, you know, your husband's always out with all these girls." So yeah, she leaves him. She breaks him out and kicks him out, and so he's sitting there in this office. He's like, "I hate you. I'm going to kill you because you made my beautiful wife leave." And he's like, and she was like, "Beautiful wife." He looks at him. He's like, "I did you a favor by getting rid of that ugly thing," and it was so mean.
So then at some point it becomes a caper where they want to steal this giant jewel from German heiress, the Sabine or something like that.
But before that, I think they go to the house. Now the two brothers and he's sitting there and they're kind of like making peace so they can go to the boss's place and get the caper.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there with their drinks and Sheba leans over his glass and shakes his dandruff into him.
Yeah, what was that
and
all
then,
about? That's right. That
then the other
scene.
Brother picks his nose and stirs it in Sheba's drink, and then Sheba does the dandruff thing to the third brother, and they all toast and drink. And you're like, oh, this is disgusting. They're so gross, and they're all very gross. Like they're literally playing it up like they're disgusting, smelly, gross people. So now they go to the boss's place, and the boss lays out this grand plan, which is Ocean's 11. Not really. But he's like, okay, look, you know, this heiress has this diamond necklace worth $1 billion.
$1 billion.
And it's insured, and the bad guys have... this is where I'm going to lose it a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
The bad guys kidnapped her daughter and said they want the insurance money, and
they'll give the
daughter back. But they're going to keep the jewels.
They're going to keep the jewels. They'll get the daughter. We get the jewels, and we get the ransom.
So sitting in this room is the insurance guy, who's the long con. I'm going to spoiler alert. He's the long con. Yeah, he's the guy that's behind it all. And they keep making references. The Italian mafia is behind...
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
Chicago mafia.
Yeah, the Chicago mafia. Not to be confused with the Italian mafia.
Yeah.
They're behind all of it. And you're like, what are we talking about here? What is going on here? Because over the credits, it was the most action-packed editing with boobs and kicking
from the first movie.
And it was... You're like, yes, this is going to be awesome. Look at all these boobs and karate and craziness and Sheba. And then you get there and you're like, well, now what am I watching here?
You're getting comedy.
Oh, no. They shystered me.
It's like a Japanese Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, basically. So, and now they have this miniature, they have this miniature layout of this thing, and they're showing how they're going to...
That's later. That's later because
so
the heist
say,
goes.
You guys are gonna go heist the. You're gonna break up this handoff.
Yeah.
Steal the money, get the kid, and get the diamonds.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem, boss. So they go and they immediately mess it up.
They mess it up.
Everything's just gone. There's nothing works out, and they kind of go back, and then the boss is like, "You guys are terrible." You know, he's just
he gets rid of them.
He fires them. So then, Sonny Sheba is climbing this glass. Like skyscraper.
Yeah, but then after they get fired, they decide that they're going to try to do it on their
own. They're going to do it on their own. I'm sorry.
So
I missed that little
thing. So then that's when Sonny Chiba says, well, why don't we go and get it from where she's staying?
Steal it right from her.
They find out where she is. We'll steal it from her. And then where is she? She's on the so-and-so building. Okay, well, then you're going to have to climb up the side of the wall there.
And he climbs up the wall with these wooden dowels and glue. And you're like, what?
And they do a joke about the glue too.
Later, So he gets in there and he gets in and he steals the jewels. And when he gets in there, the other guy's already in there as a security guard. He's like, "Oh, I drugged them, so they're passed out."
Yeah.
And then he steals the thing and he looks under the girl's dress, which
then he makes like a smell, like it really smells underneath there. And I'm like, "What is that?"
Oh, so
all
weird.
This like scat humor in this movie.
And then they were like kind of joking, like, "Oh, are you gonna have sex with her before we leave?" And you're like,
"And the little girl's in the other bed too."
I'm like, "What are we doing here?" And then they leave. They cut to it, thankfully, and that's gone. Thank God. And then they go back and they're like, "Oh," and Sonny Sheba is like hiding the jewels in his underwear. And then he gets up and then they're like, "Oh," and it's a fake. And the news
find out it's a fake.
The news is like, "Well, luckily these idiots stole a fake one because no one ever carries the real one.
Yeah, right.
And he was like, oh, he was angry. And they were like, how'd you do that with the glue? And that's when he puts glue down and he smashes the brother's hand to it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we got to go now because now we're going to go find out where to steal it from the other thing. And they leave the brother there and he's like, oh, well, if you have to use the bathroom, here's a bottle for number one and a pan for number two. And the girlfriend's there. And this movie is really strange. You can't stress how strange this movie is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. We're going to take a trailer break, and then we come back. We're going to finish. We're going
to
get through the rest of Karate Inferno. And if this sounds appealing to you, you should go to see somebody professional.
Help. Yeah, because I don't know if you're going to be able to get through Karate Inferno.
We'll get through it. I think we can get it.
Our listeners, I mean. Oh, we can do it. We can do
Stick
it.
Stick with us, man. We'll be good.
Dear life, hold on to your blood, because your blood is their life, because your nightmare is their reality. They are history's deadliest vampire, creating the panic only one man can stop. Captain Cronus, Vampire Hunter, with death at every doorway, trembling in every heart. Now, the terror must be challenged. Who lives to destroy the curse?
Kill me! Kill me!
Who duels to battle the undead?
Her youth will pulse through your veins, my darling.
Who dares to bleed the bloodthirsty?
Yes, you bleed, my lord.
At last, horror has met its match. Captain Cronus, Vampire Hunter. From Paramount Pictures. Rated R. Under 17. Not admitted without parent.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Ready for nothing. That was Captain Cronus, Vampire Hunter.
Oh, yeah, wow. Good movie. I saw it in theaters, too.
Sounds sci-fi.
Is it sci-fi? No, it's set in the swashbuckler days. It's a vampire swashbuckler movie.
Oh, my God. That sounds wild.
I saw it on a double feature with Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell at the Village Theater in Hialeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
all
I
right.
saw a lot of this
Captain
stuff.
Cronus, wow.
Captain Cronus.
All right, so yes, now we flash forward. Now they kind of go back to with the boss, and they're like, they have this model of where everything is being kept. And it's a super max, like, no one can, impenetrable. You know, there's this safe with all these thugs that are guarding it, and that's where the money and the jewels are. The kid, because the kid did get back with the lady, so
yeah,
they're safe.
Yeah,
we forgot to say that. So now they're going through this whole shtick, and this is where you see the brother is there with him, and they literally cut his palm out of the table. Like, there's this big hunk of wood shaped like a hand glued to his hand. You're like, what are we doing here? And he's constantly filing it, so he's trying to make it smaller. And then he's like, then they go through this plan. It's really elaborate. Like, they paratroop in.
They gotta get a plane, and the one guy says, "Oh, I know how to fly," and then he doesn't know how to fly. Or
yeah. So then they hire a crazy ex guy from a World War II fighter pilot. So the whole thing is very elaborate. This is where it gets like that wacky thing, and the whole time it's really spoofy and like it's like Three Stooges. Like, it's very slapstick, and it's very, and it's really crazy. So Sheba's like, I'll paratroop in, you're going to hold on to me, and then we're going to do this whole thing. We're going to climb on the ceiling to get past the lasers and the security guards. We paid some guy to cut the power. So that's this whole thing. Like, it's this long Ocean's 11 style, now this is where it's Ocean's 11, where they have to do all these weird things to get in, and this plan will work. So it goes into motion. The plane is like, the guy can't fly, and he's crazy because
they go through a tunnel.
Yeah, they go through a tunnel. This gets really wacky.
Yeah, this goes out of control, and they finally end up in the building.
They drop down and they get in, and everything is working kind of like they keep checking their watch, and the girl's sitting down in a car waiting, and she's checking things off as it goes, and he goes in, and they do the glue shtick again.
Yeah, because they got to walk. They got to go above the floor.
Yeah,
so they miss the alarm. They don't set off the alarm or whatever.
Right. So and this is long.
Yeah,
that's the one thing. It's this part is like, oh, okay. So they finally get there, and they had mic'd up the one guy that opened the safe so that he knew how to do it, and he opened the safe. They steal all this stuff, and then they're climbing back through the lasers from the ceiling, and he catches on fire. The brother does.
His backpack catches on fire.
So Sonny Chiba pees on him to put him out, and he's the only one that's taking like constant damage. He has his hand is all messed up, and he has his butt's burned. He's always like he's always hurt. He's always getting hurt more. But then the power comes on too early, and they catch him, or the security guys go, there they are, and they come running after him. And Chiba does some good fighting here, and this is where it transitions into they start murdering people, and you're like,
what? Yeah, he starts throwing people over there. You see him falling, and boom, hitting the floor.
These guys are falling. They're dummies, but they're dying, and you're like, what am I watching here? What, this is a little uneven for a comedy, you know.
Yeah.
But whatever, they wanted to do something.
Well, now the action part.
Yep. So now he hooks the money onto an umbrella, and he drops it down, and of course it gets hung up on a cable, and it scatters everywhere, so the money's gone. And then I forget what else. Now they jump down, and now everyone's descending, and this is like classic karate action.
That's the big fight scene.
And they're fighting, and this is where you had said he's
punching everybody. He's kicking like five guys, and then he goes up to one guy, and the guy's got a gun, and he knocks the gun out, and then he gives him like this rabbit punch. He punches him, and as he's does a rabbit punch, he gives him like two chops to the side of his head. And when the guy turns around, his eyes like popping out.
Popping out like a Schwarzenegger from
Roadrunner cartoon or something.
What was where he's on Mars and he falls down in the landscape and his eyes are popping out of his head?
Oh, what was that movie?
Total Recall.
Total Recall with Sharon Stone.
He said he's like, Schwarzenegger's like, and his eyes are bugging out like that. It's a Verhoeven movie. And that's how this guy's eyes were like, just like that. It's so funny. I had a laugh. And so, they're fighting, and he pulls a heart out at one point, you know.
Yeah, he does, like, and then he's, like, jumping around. And then, like, finally they beat every guy up. And then it's, like you said, at the end it's, like, the final reveal. Yeah,
Long Khan.
Yeah.
The insurance guy.
It's actually the cops.
Was actually a cop. And the girl that was with them as the girlfriend was like, oh, I'm from China. I'm a Chinese a police officer. And this is my dad, and he's the chief of God or whatever. And you're like, what's this now? And they go, well, thanks for catching the Chicago mob for us.
Yeah. Now you're going to jail.
But you're going to jail because you did all this stuff. And you go, wait, what? And then they go, ha, 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 okay. And he's like, don't worry, it'll only be a couple years.
And then Chiba tries to escape, and he does a couple of jumps, but then he gets netted, and then he's like,
It was so funny, because I did laugh at that part, because he was like, oh, yeah, in hell. And he jumps, and he runs, and he's doing all these flips, and he goes, he just looks back, and he, like, smirks at him. And literally, like, a Roadrunner net falls on him.
Yeah.
Because he gave that, like...
You know what would have been better? Just a 16-ton fall on him. It would have been, like, you know...
Or that Monty Python foot comes down and steps on him.
Yeah, something like that. That would have been total slapstick.
But that, like, the way he looked at him, and he gave him this smirk, like, got you, and then it got him.
No, you know what would be funny if he's doing it? Ha-ha, you got you. Instead of Monty Python, with the Godzilla's foot came and crushed him. You know,
that would have been great. Yeah. So then he goes, oh, okay. Then there's this disjointed scene where they get off the bus, and Sonny Chiba's like, oh, you're really old. He's like, yeah, I murdered a guy. He's like, oh, you were.
I think that guy was connected with the first executioner movie.
Must have been, because it made no sense.
And
he's like,
it was like some in-joke or something.
He's like, oh, you're so great, and you're so powerful. We will always be your servants, and we will bow down to you. And kind of end the movie, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess. What?
And then at the end, it freezes like when they're like, and the snow, like, comes down, and the snow forms, like, a little character on the bottom. And they're, like, and it freezes with them, like, in, like one of those TV shows. They're, like,
Yeah. Police Story. Remember when it Police Story, and they keep falling over and stuff?
Yeah, like, that one of those deals, yeah.
It was,
and it's the end, and it was, like, wow, what did I just watch?
This was a really odd movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this was one of those where you're, I mean, we've both seen quite a bit of very strange cinema in our lives.
Yeah.
And this ranks up there. I'm not saying top 10, but this ranks up there as like, what the heck's going on here? You know, and it, maybe it hit back in the 70s. Maybe, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe it just it didn't age well, or, you know, it was weird.
It was weird.
It was a weird, weird movie, and not enough of anything to make it like interesting, kind of.
No.
I mean, I kept watching it, you know.
I watched it. I zoned in and out every once in a while, but we got the basic idea of the movie.
If I found a dubbed version, I might rewatch it. Because, again,
There is a DVD with both movies on it, but I don't know if it's dubbed or something.
Part of my anger was because of the struggle. I didn't get to actually watch the movie because I'm reading it, and it was hard to read it, so I was kind of like, you know. And when you're in a bad mood, sometimes that affects your, you know, how you think about a movie,
equilibrium.
Too.
Equilibrium.
Yeah.
And you just want to kill.
Exactly. You just want to be an executioner of the Three Stooges. I'm not really big into that gross humor, though, so it kind of, that didn't hit with me either. You're like, I don't like, you know, even some of the weird comedies from, like, the Kingpin and stuff like that.
I like Kingpin.
Well, I know, but those were getting really nasty.
What was that joke at the end where it was like, hey, you know, where the guy at the end, like, joins the Amish, and he goes, hey, and you know what I just did today? I milked all your cows. And they go,
they're bulls. We don't have any cows. Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird.
That was by those
Coen Brothers.
Not the Coen Brothers. I think that was the airplane guys that did
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah. Zuckerman.
I think it was them. I don't know. I did like that joke.
I did like that.
That was a stupid movie.
But that's when the comedies were really ramping into Gross Town. King, you know what I mean? Like, it just, ugh.
Yeah, with a bowl.
Tom Green was wandering around ruining things. You remember
Tom
him?
Green. Yeah. Oh my God, I remember him eating like bugs and stuff.
Oh, such a weirdo. Yeah.
Oh, that MTV.
So, you know, I can't hate this movie, but I'm not gonna love it either. You know, I'm gonna say just straight down the middle five. I guess.
Yeah, me too. Take it. Is it.
Yeah, some people might watch this and be in the mood and think, "Oh, this is really funny." I'm not one of them. I was like, eh.
It was odd.
I think I've gone on record before and saying I don't really like a whole lot of comedy in like martial arts movies. Some sprinkled
Jackie
in is
Chan.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know. Some of his stuff's funny, but even some of that to me misses because you're like, okay, too silly or something. But I don't. That's just me. Some people love him. I do love Jackie Chan movies. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bagging on Jackie Chan, but even those. To me, sometimes I'm like, let's just, you know, serious it up a little bit.
Yeah, okay. But this is just, like, too oddball.
This was a weird, this is a unique movie.
Too much, whatever humor. I'm not going to say that word again. I said it 20 times. You know what I'm talking about.
Scat?
Yes.
Scatman Crothers?
Yeah, him.
Skibbity-dop, boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, so it's take it or leave it.
Yep. All right.
Take it or leave it time.
I guess that's it for this week. My name is Mal. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius.
I'm Parts Unknown, and this has been Asian Cult Cinema. We'll be back probably with something a little bit more interesting, less gross, next week.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe?
Who knows?
Well, there's Zoltan's paw.
Oh, look, Zoltan.
We had a cat trying to break into the studio. Oh, my God.
Wow, she got her paw in her pretty.
Our cats, my cat is, I have a few cats that are quite aggressive.
As soon as I went like this, the cat went, oh, no, he's going to grab me.
We've been had. Get out of here. Jesus. It's the cops. All right, we'll see you next week, everyone.
Mini-Me loves chocolate. Scotty Doo.
What? I like chocolate fine. I just...
Scotty Doo.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was very familiar. Hang on, let me do what I do. Would you stop?
How about you, Doo?
How about a what?
How about you, Doo?
What are you...
How about you, Doo?
I don't even...
How about you, Doo?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you, Doo, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Doo.
Pour it on, Morris. Give it everything she's got.
Open the door, you'll find the secret. To find the answer is to keep it. You'll believe it when you find something screaming across your mind. What can it be? What is the reason?